Hey everybody, in this episode of Box Office Breakdown, there's only one boss of this baby, and that is Dominic Toretto. We're breaking down the latest box office numbers next.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's Box Office Breakdown.
Hey everybody, welcome to Box Office Breakdown here on Popcorn Talk. This, of course, as always, is a show where we look back at the box office that was, and then we like to...
I almost want the chat room to figure out a way to have them, like... Like, we need to do, like, Jack FM, like, call in a bunch of times.
Oh, yes.
Oh, guys, would you do that if we, like, had an answering machine? and you all say prognosticate, and then we'll play it.
And then we'll play it all together. Yep, we'll make a little
awesome
melody.
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be awesome. Yes, we prognosticate about the box office that lie ahead. I'm one of your hosts, Frank Moran. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Happy Go Jackie.
And my name is Carrie Lane. You can find me online at Carrie D Lane. That's K-A-R-I-D-L-A-N-E. And then I rocking an Electro Threads t-shirt. And if you go put in the code K-Lane, just K-Lane, you get 20% off. I was like, I can't remember. I didn't think it was K-Lane 20, but it's just K-Lane.
Oh, I mean.
20% off. And I did a photo shoot with my friend today showing off some of those clothes. So stay tuned for that.
Can you hook me up with 25?
Right, I'll see what I can do.
All right. Okay. That's a cool looking shirt.
Thanks. Yeah. This one is like, it's like a stag on fire, and I wore it to Panic at the Disco in Vegas, so I was like, yes. So I was like, oh, I haven't worn this to After Buzz yet. I'm going to wear it.
Look at that. And as always, folks, you can like us on Facebook. Give us those 5 stars on iTunes. Subscribe to the YouTube channel, and if you're watching the show even after it's over, feel free to comment. Where do they do?
You guys comment down below. And right. I like somebody in the chat. I know you wrote it. Multiplayer Gamer Guy wrote prognosticate with an exclamation point.
Boom.
I like it.
Love it, love it, love it. And, of course, the last person that rounds out this delightful show is the person that makes us make sure that we sound and look well. He does his best that he can do with me. Carrie, as always, is looking fantastic and sounding fantastic.
I dressed up for you, too. You know, I kind of look good.
You always look great. Come on, get out of here. We have Neil in the booth.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Neil, where can they find you, sir?
They can find me at The Neil Plumley, T-H-E-N-E-I-L-P-L-U-M-L-E-Y.
Oh, my gosh. Why? Because you're awesome.
Well, that's one reason, yeah.
So, yes, and of course, folks, we'll have the chat up and running. Neil's pulled it up here, so feel free to chime in about anything movie-related or about this particular weekend's box office. And we're going to jump right into it.
Whoop, whoop.
Look at that.
Let's do it.
That's right. Surprisingly, number one again. I mean, I guess you guys didn't think it was going to happen, but, I mean, squeak by. Just barely hung on to number one. The Fate of the Furious.
Oh, yeah. It burned some rubber on that.
Yes.
Tokyo Drifted
back to number one
spot. Yeah,
38.6 million.
That's still pretty darn good. Yeah. Their movies are opening with that number, so we're like, yeah, all right.
Have you seen it yet?
No, I was watching number 7 today, and then I went to my photo shoot, so I didn't finish. Because I was like, oh, I need to finish 7 because I've seen 1 through 6, but the box set I have is 1 through 6. It didn't include 7 because 7 wasn't out yet. So
how far did you get in 7?
They get to the base and they're going over the plan.
Gotcha. Okay.
But I was liking it so far. It's one of those, I mean, I'm guessing, but I'm probably right. Is that the thing with the Fast and Furious series is you know exactly what you're getting. Generally, they just keep upping the ante of doing crazier and crazier things. Like they got to a part, I'm like, oh, here's the montage where they break down the plan and here's the team, but you like it because then you're expecting that again, you
yes.
know? So you're like, all right, this is that moment. I'm waiting for it. But yeah, so anyway. Fast and Furious still killing it? Yes. Oh, see, they say you look good too, Frank.
Oh, please,
you guys,
that's not
sweet.
True. That is not true, but
yeah.
I appreciate those kind lies.
Thanks about my hair. I did that earlier of like changing up for the photo shoot. And I braided it and I didn't even look. And I'm like, here, I can keep it this way. Good. Wear it for my show.
See how talented you are right there. Don't even look in a mirror.
I used my car window a little bit. I was in downtown LA. It was a little sketch towards the end of the evening. Weird people hanging out there. But
just watching you braid your hair?
No. Nobody was there until like the end. But then there's people, they park their car and they just start walking somewhere. And you're like, where are they going?
Yeah.
But anyways.
Close to the arts district?
No, not really.
No, all right. Yeah, I have
off
no
7th
idea where
Street.
Go.
Oof. But yes.
Dun, dun, dun.
But yeah, I was liking 7. Did you see it yet? Did we talk about it?
I did. I've seen them all. So yes.
Do you feel they continue it's the same general vibe formula,
yes.
but
change
it up a little bit.
This one was just, it was, It was good, but not great for me. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so.
Fair enough.
Yeah. So, and speaking of that, I guess we can just jump over and kind of talk about like something that was in the news yesterday, or even the day before, was that they're thinking about doing a spinoff that would take place between and shoot between now and Fast 9 coming out. And that would be a spinoff with Dwayne Johnson and Jason Statham's characters.
That could be interesting.
Yes, in the film. And that'd be interesting because I had heard, well, there's been much press. Not so much about Jason Statham, but certainly with Dwayne Johnson and Vin Diesel not really seeing eye to eye in terms of the sets.
Oh.
So, yeah, just because Vin's all about like, hey, loosey-goosey, we're family, you know,
yes,
whatever
right,
we do.
Yeah, yeah.
And
I did hear that.
Dwayne's all about, let's go. And so it's always been a source of friction.
Two people in chat are pointing out that maybe Jason, Jason Bourne joining the franchise. I think you mean more just the actor, not the character.
Matt Damon?
Yeah.
Well, heck, why
That'd
not?
That'd be interesting.
Let's do it. If Matt Damon wanted to even if it was Jason Bourne, if you want Jason Bourne to come into the Fast and Furious universe, I'm all down for that. That'd be so cool.
Why stop there? Let's get George Clooney and the rest of the 11 and get Ocean's Party in the group too.
Right. They can. Well, they do a heist with the Fast group, so you know it's all good. They got the they got the cars. A couple of people are talking about how that the drop is pretty far. It's a 60% drop, which is. It is, but it isn't. We've seen, generally, we predict when we do it, we do about 50.
True.
So if it's 40, we're like, all right. And if it's 60, it's still like, If it was a 70, 80% drop, then we would be like, oh, that's a big drop.
Yeah. And again, this is just the domestic side. Internationally, it's crushing. So,
yeah.
I mean, it's, as we get into it, I mean, it's heading over $900 million globally right now. So this is by no means a disappointment. Domestically, you know, it's probably dropped off a little bit quicker than the other films have.
It's still number one.
Yeah. I mean, and it's tough coming off after number seven, given the situations that they had to do with Paul Walker's character and stuff like that. That is going to bring more people into the seats because you're kind of invested in like how they're going to wrap this all up with Paul Walker's last performance.
Right. Actually, that was... And seven, when first Dwayne and Jason are fighting, I'm like, it's the transporter. This is a rock. I'm like, this is an awesome fight scene.
I feel like that is one of my favorite fight scenes in all the films, is that one right there between the two of them.
You know, they did some interesting camera work that I was like, I'm undecided on how much I love it because I liked it, but because it was crazy of like the chair fell over and the camera went with it. But you're like, that's kind of cool to change it up. It's weird, but I think it's good choice.
I like that. And I think they try that same kind of shot
later
on in the film.
It's
a much less of a success.
Okay.
I thought it really worked well between the Rock and Jason's fight. I thought that was really good. But I mean, would you be interested in wanting to see if they decided to branch them off and spin them off into their own film?
It could be interesting.
I'd be down for it, for sure. I mean,
essentially, you could almost say Tokyo Drift is a spinoff. Almost. Yeah. Which is also interesting, rewatching it, that doesn't really fit in the regular timeline of where it came out. Because technically, it's later, but it was filmed earlier.
Yes.
Which is interesting. No, it's not bad. Actually, in rewatching, I'm thinking about number two is the one of the weaker links, I feel. I didn't like the direction much. It just kind of was like, eh, and the fighting was kind of eh. It just didn't feel with the same vibe. And Tokyo Drift, you could argue it's different, but I'm like, well, it's just totally different. So then it's hard to make the same arguments, you know?
Although
it's not the same people.
There was some nice kind of back and forth between Tyrese and Paul Walker, though.
Right.
In terms of the characters, but still, it's not...
It just felt like a different kind of movie for number two. If you watch number one, then go to number two, you're like, why do we change?
True. But I think what's smart about... Well, one, Vin wasn't coming back for it. So that's another reason why it's got to change. So he's all like, I'm moving on to bigger and better things. Oh, wait, maybe I'm not. I guess I'm coming back. But I thought that was the smartest thing that like Chris Morgan, who took over writing with three, Tokyo Drift, and kind of wrote some from then on. It's just that everything counts.
Yeah.
And the idea that you're bringing everything in along the way.
And then by seven, it pulls that back in together more. So then that's cool. I like that as well. Because it's creating the universe. And then it's like, here, how these are all connected.
I wish, though, that because it is rough. And seven, when they go back and they flash back to Tokyo Drift, because you're setting back up Lucas Black's character from the end of that film.
I was like, are we going to see him more?
And then you do see him more, but you notice, I mean, there's a big jump in his age between those two scenes. And you're like, what happened to him just in that?
Is that when he's like talking at the railing at the party?
Yes.
I didn't actually, I was looking, but I was like, whatever.
I almost wish they would have like reshot those scenes just with him so it didn't look so quite different.
Well, she would look different too.
But you could, I would have shot her around so you didn't see her.
Oh, okay.
Maybe. Yeah, I don't know. But
yeah, whatever.
Yeah, but still, I would be cool
to do this. Oh, hey, Gregory in the chat says we don't talk about Tokyo Drift. It's not that bad. It's actually pretty good. It's just a different vibe than the other ones, but yes. It fits with the set.
No, and I was always hoping that they were going to bring Lucas Black in more than what they did for number 7.
They should have. I would like more. To see. I haven't gotten to his character yet in 7, but I was really hoping, I feel like, they should more.
Given what happened with Paul Walker, maybe they bring Lucas Black in for not Lucas Black. You bring Lucas Black in too. Why not?
He's
bring
him in there.
He's just ranting and raving the whole time. What is going on? that's our big hot and fast and furious discussion for this episode.
Yes.
Coming number 2, The Boss Baby, still going strong. $12.75 million.
Now, see, that one only had a 20% drop, which isn't that much, but family film.
Yeah.
Still doing well.
No, and I mean, if you compare that to the Smurfs has been dropping and dropping and dropping, but the Boss Baby still got it.
Yep.
Number 3, Beauty and the Beast. Another $9.973 million. A little 27.2% drop.
Yep, that one's still holding on, even though it's been out a while, too.
I think, you know, like, I think so many films were scared about Fast and Furious that, I mean...
they held back.
Yeah, there's not been a lot of good films coming out since then. Even this week's stuff is, not that great.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll talk about that in a little bit. Number 4, Born in China.
Hey, it made the top 5.
It did better than I thought it was going to do, comparatively to what we were betting on for a box office bet.
Oh, #, justice for Han. Yes, I like it. Good #.
Anyway. Yeah, without any spoilers
I met him, actually.
Really?
At the Los Angeles Asian Pacific Film Festival last year, he was in a film.
Did you say, you're supposed to be dead?
No.
No, you didn't say that? Because movies
are
real.
He's actually a really tall dude, too. Not that I thought he was short, but I was like, you're much bigger than I expected. Of like, hi, nice to meet you.
Did you say that?
No.
No, Carrie. No. Wow, you're tall. No.
Well, and then I got heels on too, so then you're always surprised when you meet people on the red carpet. I do hosting at red carpet too, guys, so if you like red carpets.
She's a multifaceted bummer.
That actually starts next week. It's Los Angeles Asian Pacific Film Festival if you guys are in Los Angeles.
Oh, nice. Mm-hmm. You'll be hosting it then?
I will be doing red carpet for AfterBuzz, yes.
Look at you.
Next week, so I might be gone on Sunday. Maybe. I know.
Oh,
I know.
Dare you. How dare you. I cannot believe
this. Frank.
I don't think so, Carrie. I don't think so. So Born in China came in number 4, $5.1 million. And rounding out the top 5, which surprisingly, I was surprised that Born in China did a little bit better, Going in Style, the Zach Braff-directed film from Warner Brothers, just a hair over $5 million.
It's not in the top 5 anymore, but I did see Ghost in the Shell.
What'd you think?
I liked it, but I didn't love it. Visuals, great. And then I'm sorry, guys, didn't get around to finishing the show, but I did watch both the movies. It's very smart. What they did is they changed a lot of things from the films, but it was cool because they made it make sense within their world that they created. So they shifted how some things happened from the original films. So I was like, okay, that's different that you changed it, but they made it work within their story.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? I mean, you're always going to have the argument on casting that I'm not going to go into that too much. But I mean, technically, it's a false body, so it's not really her. So I still make that argument that I'm like, well, technically, it's not the body. And it's not a body she chose.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very different argument, too. It'd be different if she goes, this is what I want to look like. I do agree that there were some arguments somebody made then that she should have kind of semi, like a disembodied feeling of like looking at herself and going, this doesn't feel what I should look like, that I'm like, okay, that could be there. So that was an argument. I'm like, you could have played that angle with her not being cast as Asian. And yeah, again, really cool visuals, but I didn't feel it wasn't amazing, but I enjoyed it.
It was better than I thought it was going to be.
Mm-hmm.
Would you want to see another film in that universe?
Not necessarily. I mean, I'm okay with the original material. It's like, it was kind of cool, though, how they tried to make it live action, though, for some of that. Because there were other bits. Or there were things that they incorporated from... There's a thing in the second movie. So when the geisha is, like, getting shot at the that like tea ceremony dinner thing scene. It's like help me, and there's something really cool with that in the second film that they don't touch upon that at all in the live action movie. Mm. That I'm like, oh, that would have been cool if you brought that storyline in, but they don't. So that was weird. People in the chat room are a little bit like, I know, but yeah, it's cool action and cool visuals, but I don't think they're gonna make a sequel to how poorly that one did. And
no,
yeah,
which is a shame.
Yeah. There are very, 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 very few live-action anime that actually look good. But if you guys are fans of Full Metal Alchemist, they are making... Japan's making a Full Metal Alchemist movie, and it looks really good.
I never saw the Death Note film. How did that go?
I've seen the Japanese Death Note movies, and I really did like those, though. So those were cool. That one, they did an excellent job of casting, because it's like, you need to pick someone who looks like the character, and they did. So oh, nice. That was cool. Like, there's a character, L... And if you guys haven't watched Death Note, it's actually a really good anime series. I haven't read it. But so this guy, he's just really bizarre. And he holds things weird. Like, he's holding, like, a phone like this. Yeah. If you guys are listening, it's like he holds it between his first finger and thumb and, like, fingers up in the air. And it's just weird. And, like, and that person really captured the mannerisms of this cartoon character. So you're like, that's really cool. Though I did hear Attack on Titan live action was horrible. I didn't get to that one.
I know the second season of the anime just started on Cartoon Network there this past weekend.
I haven't watched the season 2 for Attack on Titan, but I'm really excited because I was reading that.
I will say that for Death Note, I never thought I'd see a cartoon make looking like writing a notebook look so awesome and exciting.
Attack on Titan?
No, Death Note.
Death Note. Oh, you should.
Yes. They always made it look so cool. I was like, all right, yeah.
Well, Netflix is supposedly making the show of it.
Which actually would be really cool.
I'm curious.
It depends on if they go with the animated series ending or the comic book ending.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm curious to see which one they go with. Now, for those of you fans of the big box office bet, of course, the film that the chat chose for us to bet on was Unforgettable, that Rosario Dawson, Katherine Heigl jam. That came out this past weekend and came in and did very poor. That and Poetic Justice didn't do much more than $4 million each.
Womp, so, womp, womp. Can we get that music?
Yeah. Give us can you do a sad trombone? Womp,
womp. Yes.
That's right. So, of course, the winner of the box office bet, Neil, look at you. Are you just basking in your prognosticating skills?
Oh, I'm basking all right, Frank.
Oh, yeah.
It feels like a warm summer day.
What was your number?
6.5.
Oh, yeah, you were real low, right?
Yes, I went with 11. Carrie, you went with 12.
I know.
So I know everybody there in the chat is excited for you go see this and let us in on all the cool beats.
Sorry, I just made a face reacting. Somebody said... Somebody said Warner Brothers is developing live-action reboot of Attack on Titan. Certain things you can do in animated that I don't think you can do as well as live-action, like their 3D maneuvering gear, I just feel you can't capture that with real people enough. Because it's like Spider-Man on crack, like how they're zipping around and moving and like how the camera moves it. Like, you can do that animated. I don't think it comes across as well live-action. And then somebody made another point, too, of... director for Get Out was in talks for directing Akira, and that one I'm like, but see, that one is so specifically set in Japan that it's like, unless you're gonna make it set in Japan,
What if they do in Los Angeles?
That was actually when they were pitching around. I think who was it? I just forgot his name, but there's an actor who was who's into producing now. And he bought the right. I think he tried to buy the rights for it, or he ended up getting them. And he was going to try and make the movie with him Leonardo DiCaprio, with him starring in it, set in Neo, New York. And all the fans on the internet were like, that can't happen. That's going to be awful. Mm-hmm. And I think I got shelved into development hell, if I remember correctly. Maybe the chat can clear that up if they know any more about it. But yeah, it was in talks. I think that was about maybe 5 or 6 years ago. When I last heard about it.
Yeah, Lovey Speak says Jordan Peele is a huge anime fan. I don't care if you're a huge anime fan. It's one of those, like, that helps for sure, but there are certain anime content that's really specific to Japan, so unless you're going to set it in Japan and have Japanese characters, because the whole point is they're in Japan. It's not American tourists living there, or, you know. So it's like, we all just, like, brace it for, like, impact.
Now, before we get too far away here, Albin, back there at the top of the chat, though, says, Carrie, you know, you're going to love Unforgettable.
I know.
Thank you, Albin. Yes.
Yeah. Wah, wah, wah. Let's do that one again.
Oh. How excited are you?
The words in Fat Fear 7, words haven't been invented yet.
So as we're talking about Furious 7, why don't we talk a little bit about the Fast and Furious there internationally. Yeah. The Fate of the Furious, in its second lap around the international box office, it put another $163.4 million in the tank. That's some great money mileage.
Mm-hmm.
That lifts the offshore total to $744.8 million in 65 markets, and as I mentioned earlier, the global tally $908.4 million.
Mm-hmm.
It is basically the latest entry in the 16-year-old franchise. Nicely done, and still mm-hmm. number one everywhere worldwide, and it will leave $1 billion in the rear view this coming week.
Oof. Loving the puns.
That's right. China continues to show its love for the family with a further $58.5 million in the sophomore session, and that takes the total to $318.9 million over there in China. And that turbocharges the pick past Transformers Age of Extinction, which had $2 billion, and to become the number two import of all time in the Middle Kingdom. Hmm. Furious 7 still holds a record as the biggest imported pick ever with $2.4 billion, and the current film is expected to use its horsepower to get past that. China is in high gear on the movie, and there's plenty of track ahead. There you go. And also, folks, Beauty and the Beast from Disney took a bow in Japan, the final release market, and twirled on stage with a delightful $12.8 million opening to well-outperform its live-action competitors.
I like Tanya's suggestion in the chat. I should make you go with me.
Oh, that would be unforgettable.
Oh, well, Alvin says, that's not fair because it's not your fault. But what if I paid for your ticket?
Oh, yeah. Gosh. Carrie's going to pay me to go see Unforgettable. Yeah, but then we could both sit there and just like...
That could be kind of fun, though. See, that's how I saw Obsessed. It was like, watch it with a friend. Like, we're just going to laugh at it the whole time. It's fantastic.
You're like, what are we doing? This is like that. From what the reviews that I read of it said that it doesn't do bad at the beginning, but then the end kind of gets a little cliche with those kind of... that kind of
cliche? Really?
Cliche ending there. Yeah.
Not surprised.
So it doesn't quite stick the landing. And it's just tough to get really excited about Katherine Heigl. It's just tough. Mm-hmm. Tough. So, ladies and gentlemen, as we're going to be talking about next week's films, there are three that are going to be in contention. Mm. One, we've got The Circle, which seems intriguing to me, that Tom Hanks and Emma Watson.
Could be.
It's over an opening over 28,000.
Oh, yeah.
2,800 theaters.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've got the comedy How to Be a Latin Lover. And then finally, the sci-fi action film Slight from the producers of Get Out. This one seems intriguing to me. I've only seen a few commercials for it.
I think I'm like, is there marketing on this one? I haven't seen anything. I saw like the tail end of a commercial that I'm like, oh, that's what it's about. Because I'm like, what? What is this movie?
Yeah, it's like, whether it's like, I don't know if it's like necessarily magic, superheroes, kind of combination of both. Yeah. I mean, certainly The Circle is going to be the big release of the other week. And I don't... No, on that one.
The Circle?
Yeah.
It was part of a book club that I haven't been able to get over to book club, but I was like, I feel it could be really interesting or not. And then it depends on how much they pry into your private life, because depending on what you have going on, like, yes, it's we live in a world where, like, we're super public, but then you're also very private. But the thing is, like, we're curating what we make public, so that's different, you know? Because it's like, you'll be super private. Like, you won't let someone hold your phone, but you'll post all kinds of stuff on social media.
Yeah.
So it's like a crazy little, Oh, I love that you guys would all say you'd go with me to the movie. You know, I can be
Look
fun.
At that, see?
I can be. Someone's like, I like it. East Blue Drew, I go Carrie. She's funny. Yes, I can be. I try. But yeah, so The Circle, I feel it could be really hit or miss. It's either going to be really poignant, like perfect timing, like, oh yeah, like it's interesting the world we live in like that. But depending on how much they pry into your life, I'm like, well, it depends how much you got to hide that you got to worry about it, right?
Yeah, it's and I can't quite tell on this one if Tom Hanks turns out to be the bad guy.
I think the problem is they're like really pushing it that I'm like, I'd almost be disappointed if he is, because then you'd be like, oh, well, that trailer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you've got Yes.
I think that it looks just like a live-action, feature-length Black Mirror episode.
Right, yeah.
It seems kind of like an episode, or it seems sort of like a combination of a couple episodes from the show. I don't know if it's going to be any different. I'd actually be surprised if Tom Hanks is, like, the unwitting accomplice to, like, a weird social algorithm AI, like Skynet, that just takes over everyone's lives. That's a little out there. That's a little out of the ballpark.
I mean, think it'd be fun. Exactly. It's one of those movies that you're like, it's either going to be really good or really not. I like this suggestion from the chat, Frank. Lil Jen says, I would love for you both to do a commentary on Popcorn Watch along, especially something like Unforgivable. That would be really funny. We'll do our own Mystery Science Theater 3000 of it. Yes. Would you guys watch that? Would you watch us break down a movie and talk about it?
Heck yeah, I'll do it.
That'd be fun. Why not?
Yes. Yeah.
They do movie breakdown things, so. Yeah, but I don't think they do it as a watch along. I think they. I don't know. I haven't been able to catch any of those.
Yeah, those. Anatomy
of a movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. We have a lot of those, so if you guys. You know, we could maybe change that.
We can do an extension right here with Popcorn Talk. Yes. Popcorn Talk watch along. And we should make that Unforgettable. Should be the first one.
Yeah. Very funny.
What have I gotten us
to
do?
Good lordy.
I don't know, because I feel like I've just seen those. I haven't seen a full trailer for it. I've only seen like
Circle?
The commercials, yeah.
Oh,
and the poster. Mm. Every time I go everywhere, I've just seen that poster everywhere. And I love Tom Hanks' beard. It looks good.
Ideally, I would watch you watch Unforgettable. Thank you. And then Neil, kind of going off your comment too, Sky Patterson says Circle is basically Twilight Zone meets Outer Limits in politics. So yeah. Little bit, yeah. It's a similar vibe of like it's taking a world we already know and then expanding upon it and analyzing it, you know.
Albin has gone out on a very dangerous limb here and said that Boss Baby is greater than Storks. And Albin, I gotta disagree. I enjoyed Storks tremendously. I did not enjoy Boss Baby as much as I did Storks. I don't think there's anything as fun in the Storks and Boss Baby as when Andy Samberg's character finds himself caught in that glass maze because he can't see glass and he's got to get through and he's bumping in. I thought that was very entertaining.
I laughed
nearly as much like that in anything in Boss Baby.
Someone else said Lil Jen says it exactly. Yay for Popcorn Watch Along. All right, we should pitch it.
All right, we'll do it. Okay. All right, so now before we get into picking out next week's films and as well for our box office bet, we've got again The Circle, How to Be a Latin Lover, and Slight. Feel free to start chiming away in the chat. I know Albin's there, so Albin, I'll look to you as always to kind of keep a running tally. But we'll do a little box office rewind on one of the people that are in one of the upcoming films. And for that, we went to the Gone Before His Time, Mr. Bill Paxton.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got a nice eclectic bunch of films there in his top five. Coming in number five was Apollo 13 from Universal back in 95, $25.3 million. That was a really solid film.
I remember liking that one.
There was just everything just was really what I just
good drama.
Yeah, and just like the use of CGI to do the rocket launch sequences, just well done the whole way through. Number four for him is Two Guns back from 2013 from Universal, $27 million.
I don't think I saw that one.
Was that the Denzel Washington, Mark Wahlberg one?
I actually have no idea.
I think was that one? I think.
Chat room, correct us or comment down below.
Yeah, I think it's that one, and I didn't see that one. Coming in number three, Titanic.
Woo!
Back in 97, $28.6 million.
Side note on that, I did an interview with an author who has a new book coming out called Haunting the Deep, and it's about a character who she sees ghosts, and it's exploring the Titanic and stuff like that. But that the author herself I don't think they're alive now, but a relative that survived the Titanic, and there's a letter describing how they survived and everything.
Wow.
So that one's also part of, that's a spotlight on.
That sounds really cool.
And they have another book, because the same author is related to Cotton Mather, if you guys ever know Salem. So he's like the one who started the witch hunt trials and everything. So it's like history, it's present day, but it's history stuff. He does interviews too. I don't want to totally toot my own horn here, but.
But I don't do them as nearly as well as Carrie does.
Oh, no. So. But yeah, just Titanic made me think of that. I'm like, oh, yeah, because she talked about that.
Now, to take a break from Bill Paxton for just one second, as we mentioned Titanic, there's the news in the press that Avatar films finally have some release dates, and that's not going to be until 2020. And then he's shooting them all in consecutive order. So he's going to be shooting it back to back to back. So they should come out relatively quickly after that. But still, are you going to be...
That's a long time. Well, wait, that's only 3 years from now, but that's still a really long time.
Well, yeah.
2020 sounds really far.
Because it came out, what, 2007? Is that when it came out? 2007?
Oh, hey now. Gregor says, if a girl says she loves Titanic, run. It's actually it's a good movie. Don't... Whatever.
I mean, but do you feel like the whole movie is a good movie, or just basically when the whole wreckage part, when it hits the iceberg and starts going down?
The beginning, it's a good romance story. It's more that the end is the... but, like, I remember more of the... Like, it's 3/4 of the movie is them falling in love, and it's just the end. So it's like, that part's a good romantic thing.
Yeah.
Come on, you get the naked scene, too, if anybody really is going to bitch about it.
Drop me like one of your French girls. That's right. Yeah. I say that to Neil every night. I say him here at AfterBuzz. Neil, take a moment. Drop me like your French girl. But yeah, but I just don't know. Like, are you... I mean, the first Avatar film was fine, but it's not like I'm...
Oh, no, it was so cool. But it is... Okay. Any movie, it's fine if you take from something else. It's plenty of homages and directors who specifically do that. Just don't ever be like, well, it's totally original. Be like, because watching Avatar, I'm like, there's a trailer. It's so fun. Did you guys ever see this where they took the soundtrack from Fern Gully and put it on top of the trailer for Avatar and it fit perfectly? And it was one of those... They have their special tree. They live in the forest. Yeah. Some humans are coming in and causing a problem. I'm like, it's a very similar movie. They totally execute it differently, you know, and it's a very different look. And, you know, there's a lot that's different. But it's one of those, like, don't say it's totally brand new.
Yeah.
But I did really enjoy it. I did see it, though, in IMAX, so that probably helped of, like, whoa, we're in the world. But visually stunning. And I really love the idea of, like, turning into another creature. I think it's so cool. So I liked that aspect.
Yeah, but because I always remember like the big thing is like the 3Ds, you know, that he's revolutionized the way the
3D didn't watch it in 3D, though.
And I was like, well, I got to check this out. And I felt like, I mean, it had a nice depth of field, but it didn't like blow me away. So to this point where I would rather go, I would unless I have to, I will not go see a film in 3D. Just give it to me in 2D.
Oh, 3D drives me nuts. Oh, yep, exactly. Adelia says Avatar is dancing with wolves with blue aliens. Yeah. It was definitely Dances with Wolves. It's definitely Fern Gully and a couple of those other mixed together.
I really liked the first one. But I had a deep appreciation for the world building, and like and how the creatures looked and how they worked and all the intricate plants and everything. Because I actually learned that Cameron hired a whole bunch of artists and he bought the house next to his house, and for years that was their job, to show up at that house and to figure out how these creatures worked, how they evolved, and how they walked around this planet, and they just built the whole thing from the ground up. And even though the story was a little useless, sometimes I still make the argument that, yeah, it's like Dancing with Wolves, but so is Pocahontas, so where's the argument there?
Yeah.
That aside, I think it's a fun ride. And what's interesting is that I did look at those release dates, Frank, and they're coming out in December, like mid to late December, in 2020, 2021, and then 2024 and 2025.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm wondering... I don't know how long the Star Wars episodes are going to keep going, or the spin-offs, but are they going to go toe-to-toe with those films, or is that why they're coming out so late?
Ah.
Yeah, but I mean...
Good prediction.
But it's true, but I feel like the box office is big. I mean, if December, if the end of the year was still reserved for Star Wars, I mean, you could put Avatar on during the summer and it would clean up.
That's true.
I would think, but I don't know. Neil, are you excited about seeing the next Avatar film? Like, just genuinely excited? Or like, oh, when it comes out, I'll still see it, but I'm not, like, jonesing for it.
Yeah, because the story might not be fresh, but it's a whole new world.
Yes,
you know?
Exactly.
And Cameron keeps saying that there's so many other places on this world that him and his team put together, including some underwater stuff, because he's such a fucking diving guru, that seeing this stuff and seeing it in the best way that technology can bring you, and even in 3D if it calls for it, I'm going to be like probably first or second in line. Just because, like we, like if I'm going to go see Fast and Furious, Frank, I'm definitely going to go see Avatar.
Okay.
Because at least Avatar is like a brand new setting that I'm not going to see before, or maybe again.
Now, everybody here in the chat, Carrie, everybody watching even after the show is aired live, you've all heard Neil say that he's going to be either the first or second person in line when Avatar comes out. So we got to make sure we hold him accountable to
if
that.
For around at 20.
Yes.
What, tweet me at the Neil Plumley, TheNeilPlumley on the release date of Avatar 2 in 2020.
That's right.
Well, another movie that's not slated at all yet, but Neil's brought it up, and I just started the book, is Ready Player One, and I'd be very curious to see that as a film. But I'm only a little bit into the book, so.
It'll be curious to see, because in the book they have a lot more properties that tie in. It'd be interesting to see with how much Spielberg's context, influence, and connection allow him to pull in so many different properties to use.
Oh, and then good point. Sky Patterson is like, hey, James Cameron, where the hell is your epic war drama film? Where's Battle Angel Alita? I agree. That one was talked about years ago, and I was excited about that. And it's like, nope.
Yeah, I wonder if like at times like that, he becomes almost like Guillermo del Toro, who announces these films that he, for whatever reason, just doesn't get around to, and something they just kind of slide away.
Yeah.
Maybe for some of them, they might still be on the docket somewhere, but...
Oh, okay, interesting. Adelia says that Battle Angel Alita is supposed to come out next year. James Cameron is producing, Robert Rodriguez is directing, and they finished filming. Okay, I like Robert Rodriguez. I'd be very intrigued.
Do you feel like, would you rather see, though, Cameron Battle Angel or a Rodriguez Battle Angel?
They'd be different styles. I think Rodriguez would get the dirty, gritty feel of it. But James Cameron would make it epic, if that makes sense. More grand, but...
Would he have the heart? Would he have that human connection?
Well, she's an android, so...
Well, he wrote T2, wrote and directed it.
Yeah, I don't know. It'd be a good question. Yeah.
At the end, when she goes into that big molten steel pit and just puts her thumbs up, that's what happens, right? Because that's how all James Cameron's films end. He changes the ending. It's always going to a molten pit, keep that thumb up. Keep that up. High up. All right. Okay. We got to get back to Bill Paxton's breakdown here. Edge of Tomorrow came in at number 2 for him. Which
I did like that.
I really like that too as well. I know a lot of people had some issues with it. Maybe the name of it did not help.
I think I like that one.
$28.7 million. And then his number one film, which is, I think of all these ones, I haven't seen Two Guns, so I can't speak to that. But it definitely the goofiest, and that's Twister.
I enjoyed it.
Back in 96, $41 million. I mean, he sells just picking up that dirt and just kind of like, just letting it go and just like, yeah, I know what's going on.
I saw that when I was in Colorado visiting family, and I'm like, this is really scary. Because it's like, we don't have Twisters in Southern California. So I'm like, this is really scary. And then people, it's funny anywhere else, we're like, but you guys have earthquakes. I'm like, not really.
Yeah, yeah.
Nothing that's a big deal here.
Wouldn't say, yeah, because we don't have earthquake season.
Yeah.
That's tornado season. You have that. Yeah. I mean, every year you are in that 3 or 4 month gap where it's a high potential for it to happen. Yeah. I mean, it's supposed to be different if we had like earthquake season here. Then it'd be terrifying. What I think my most favorite thing about the film Twister is that it has the coolest pinball I'd ever seen. Pinball machine. There.
Oh, wait. Edge of Tomorrow? I was mixed feelings on that. I was thinking a different movie.
Oh.
I like the graphic novel and the book better.
What,
just saying.
What film were you thinking?
I think I was almost thinking Day After Tomorrow.
James Bond?
No.
Dennis
disaster
Quaid.
Disaster movie. Anyway.
Dennis Quaid, Jake Gyllenhaal.
Yeah.
Okay.
Edge of Tomorrow, you mean All You Need Is Kill. I'm
yes.
Like, no, that one's better, but whatever.
Or they're trying to do like Live, Die, Repeat.
Yeah.
But it has the pinball. You could shoot, and then it would get trapped on this little magnetic disc in the center of the pinball board.
Oh, okay.
And eventually, as you got enough on there, then it would start spinning like a tornado, and then it would shoot
all the balls
out of her. It was so cool. I loved it. I spent many, many quarters on that pinball machine.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so ladies and gentlemen.
No, it was not. Sorry, East Blue Drew said it was, you say that The Edge of Tomorrow was a great manga. Okay, it might be a good manga adaptation. It was not a good book adaptation at all.
Oh, man.
But, anyway.
So, before we get into our box office bet, again, we have The Circle, How to Be a Latin Lover, and Slight. Which seems intriguing to me from the producers of Get Out.
Slight does look kind of cool. And that's a wide release, so.
Yeah. Yep. I wish I knew how many, but we'll see. Mm-hmm. We're going to do our predictions for next week's top five. Now, we've got those three films. Again, as I mentioned, The Circle is going into 2,800 theaters, plus How to Be Latin Lover is at 1,000, and Slight is just wide. Just wide.
I was going to say that's more.
It's just wide. Well, I don't know how many. Like, wide is how many?
Doesn't that mean more than 28?
Maybe.
Oh, okay.
Or, I mean,
not necessarily.
Yeah, I don't think it's more than 2,800. No. Because very much like the, it's like, hey, we're going to go from our limited release in like three or four markets to
worldwide.
Got it. Wide.
Okay.
So, do you feel like any of those have a chance to topple our current top five? Fate of the Furious, The Boss Baby, Beauty and the Beast, Born in China, and Going in Style?
Yes.
Ooh, which one? Or two or more might be in danger of being knocked off the list.
I think Born in China and Going in Style would be.
I can't disagree.
I think The Circle, it's Tom Hanks and Emma Watson, so it's good. It's based on a book. Generally does kind of have that built-in audience.
Okay, say Beauty and the Beast hadn't come out this year. Do you feel it would still do as well? Because I feel like Emma Watson might have a
right.
few more eyes.
She's
on
the the watch list now. Might not. It helps for sure.
As much as I love Tom Hanks, it's like I think a film like this is not going to open that huge. Not as huge as many other Tom Hanks films.
I don't think it's going to be like number one, but it could be number four.
Yeah.
And Slight, it's hard because I don't feel it's had a whole ton of advertising.
True.
That people are like, wait, what movie are we talking about? There we go. Okay, Ken Jack says, thanks for... Yay, numbers already. I like it. Fast and the Furious, Circle, Boss Baby, Beauty and the Beast, and Slight. Wow. Okay. I think that's very high for a Circle, but...
That does seem very high to me.
How to Be a Latin Lover, I also feel that one didn't do a lot of advertising.
And it's only in 1,000 screens.
That's not much. And then Slight, I feel that might be a word-of-mouth one. All right. I think Fate and the Furious will probably stay at number one, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Is Boss Baby going to stay number two? You know what? If only because if it drops, well, even if it drops 20%, you know what? Maybe I will take your crazy suggestion, chat room. And you know what? Let's be crazy. Okay, number one, let's do Fate of the Furious, two, The Circle, three, Boss Baby, four, Beauty and the Beast, and five, Slight.
Interesting. All right.
Yes.
Okay. Neil, how about you, sir? Do you have a thought?
Yeah, I'm going to basically have the same, but throw Slight into the number two slot and move everything else down.
Wow.
Do you think Slight is going to... I mean, certainly they keep advertising as producers of Get Out, but
I think it could. I think it might. I mean, if we're looking at the drop, we have Boss Baby only at 12.7 this week.
Mm-hmm.
It might. It's probably going to go down to about 8. And mm-hmm. now the question is, do I think that Slight's going to do better than 8? You know, maybe.
Okay.
I think it might. I might be shooting a little high, but mm-hmm. I think it could.
All right.
Okay.
I guess I would go Fate of the Furious. Man, interesting with Slight.
Oh, okay. Well, while you're thinking, Jennifer says Fate of the Furious, Circle, Boss Baby, Slight, and then Beauty and the Beast. Interesting.
Mm-hmm. I do like Jennifer's lineup there.
And Ken Jack makes a good point that Circle only needs 8 to 9 million or so to be number two.
All right. Jennifer, thank you for picking my lineup for me. That made it very easy for me. All right. So, ladies and gentlemen, we've gotten to the point where we've got to do our box office bet, and time is running out.
Do we get a movie to bet on yet?
Yeah, it looks like... Alvin, what do you think so far? What have you seen? I know I've seen The Circle mentioned. I've seen good old How to Be a Latin Lover mentioned. I don't know if I've seen... I've seen Slight mentioned too. So I've seen all three of them mentioned. I don't know who's been mentioned the most. Let's see. In the meantime, Again, we have how the box office bet works is that we're all going to bet on the total opening box office for this weekend. The one that gets closest is going to have bragging rights. They're the prognosticator of prognosticators. The loser will have to go see this film and tell us all about it. Latin lover.
And actually, neither of us put it. None of us put it on our top five.
No. Yikes.
Only 1,000 screens.
Yeah, this is going to...
All right, let's do it.
Let's get in.
Fudge.
So, How to Be a Latin Lover, a comedy from Pantelion Productions. There, 1,000 screens. Now, just as a little point of reference here, our lowest box office on this top five here was $5 million for Going in Style. That right there is on 3,038 screens. Now, by contrast, real quick, Born in China on a little over 1,500 screens and did 5.1 million.
Okay. So,
just throwing that out there as a point of reference.
Boss Baby. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Born in China got 5 million with 1.5 million or 1,500 screens, but Latin Lover has 1,000 screens, so
yes,
it should be less than 5.
Probably should be, yes.
All right, I'm gonna make my number a little smaller now.
All right.
I wasn't that high, but still. Oh, okay. Yeah, 3.6 by Star Drew. Alvin says 2.5. Desmond says 2.
I've got my number ready to go.
Yeah? Okay.
Oh, my gosh.
Frank, you ready?
All right.
Go for it, Neil.
I'm going to say 3.4.
Okay.
All right.
I'm glad I didn't make my first guess then.
Oh, man. Okay, I went...
Ready?
3.5. Oh, no! No!
For those of you listening, I have 3 and Frank did 3.5. You know what, though? I thought 3.5. I saw everybody's numbers. I'm like, let's erase the 0.5. See, you guys, we have all kinds of fun here on this show.
No. Oh, man. All right. Great. Neil will be just feet up, comfortable this entire weekend.
Woo!
Carrie and I will be sweating it out of the box office.
I'm feeling calm and relaxed already, Frank.
Oh, man. All right.
And then real quick, too, I was going to say, Tanya, thank you for reminding me on Twitter. And I actually don't have my answer right now. But I'm going to make sure I do that by tomorrow morning. We did. And actually, I'll give you guys an opportunity. You have by the end of tomorrow to join in on this, because I had some other people do it before, and if you missed out on that, I'm going to open up the opportunity, because I'll give away 2. Actually, I have a couple prize pack things. So what it is comment down below on your favorite animated movie to live action, because we did that before a couple weeks ago. I have two, and actually maybe you'll get a choice. So I have a prize pack where it's some cool stuff from Sword Art Online, and then I also have from Your Name, and I have prize packs. So some of those include like shirts and like cookies and postcards and stuff like that. So comment down below on your favorite anime movie of anything. It could be American or non-anime movie to live action, and I'll randomly pick a winner. So you have by 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time tomorrow.
Look at that. Yes. What a sweet deal. Ladies and gentlemen, that is going to do it for this episode of Box Office Breakdown. Just, you know, do yourselves a favor, guys. Everybody go see How to Be a Latin Lover.
Apparently, I torture you.
Yep.
No, it's not my fault.
Oh, man. Oh, all right. Just give me a $3.6 million weekend. That's all I'm asking for, guys. I'm not asking for much. Ladies and gentlemen, as always, thanks so much for joining us there in the chat. Mm-hmm. You guys make the show so much fun for us to do.
Yes.
And you can always like us on Facebook, give us those 5 stars on iTunes, and subscribe to us there on the YouTube channel. And if you're watching this afterwards, Carrie, where can they share their thoughts?
Yes, you can, comment down below on stuff, give the video a thumbs up, and answer that animated question so you guys can get a prize pack. And then you can continue the conversation with me online at Carrie D Lane. That's KARIDLANE on Twitter and Instagram. And yes, go check out Electro Threads, this cool shirt. They have a lot of really cool, colorful shirts by photographers. Like, it's very bright. I'm like, I know. That's why I love it. Use the code KLANE and you get 20% off, and they'll post some more photos. I posted some fun video, though, of me downtown on Twitter. And the My Story on Instagram, so you can watch those.
Oh,
me
nice.
Being a dork. I'm like, hey, we're downtown.
And the strikingly handsome Neil, where can they find you, sir?
You guys can find me everywhere on the internet at the Neil Plumlee, T-H-E-N-E-I-L-P-L-U-M-L-E-Y.
Because you're handsome. That's why.
That's the one reason.
Yeah.
And folks, you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at HappyGoJackie. Folks, we'll see you back here next Sunday night. Well, hopefully, you'll see Neil and me. Hopefully, Carrie, if you can, you know, pry yourself away from your very important film red carpet.
Well, yes. We'll see. Actually, I think their film festival closing night might not be on Sunday, but we'll see. I'll let you guys know.
There you go. And everybody, just, you know, everybody, go see How to Be a Latin Lover. Just go. No. You'll be so happy you did. Yes.
No.
We'll see you back here next Sunday night for another episode of Box Office Breakdown here on Popcorn Talk. Bye, everybody. Go see Latin, please. See you.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.